Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's a very fine Monday afternoon, December 2nd, 2013. And I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And my favorite day of the year is January 2nd. I'm very thankful once all the holidays are gone and I get back to my routine. I like my routine. And a lot of disruptions. And, of course, we see the disruptions in the price of gold today. And they certainly did a number to it today. And it's all based on one little report that was released today. You had gold dropping big today, down 32 bucks at the last half hour of trading. It was down mostly 20 bucks on the day. Last half hour, it dropped down to 32, almost $33 on the day. But it was all because manufacturing report. The U.S. manufacturing conditions improved in November. The Institute for Supply and Management's their index, it climbed not even a full point. From to 57.3% from 56.4% in October, to the highest level since April of 2001. And, of course, that made the U.S. dollar a little bit stronger. You saw the 10-year yield rates rise. And, of course, the data on the U.S. manufacturing sector, since that came in better than expected, supporting the prospects for perhaps a pullback in the bond buying program, is what made gold drop today. Now, if you believe that, I do have some property. Very nice property in Florida. A little swampy, but it's nice property. So if you believe that one, and again, I mean, how many times does Bernanke and even Yellen said there's absolutely no way we're going to be taking out the bond buying program too soon? If they cut back, they're going to cut back on the real estate portion of the $85 billion, not the Treasury bonds. They're going to keep buying those. Nobody else wants them, so they're going to continue doing that. So, again, but it was enough because there's not enough buyers out there. You know, it's been a slow couple of months in the purchasing of gold and silver. Naturally, you're going to see that when you have the stock market rising up over 16,000 and the S&P over 18, and of course, the NASDAQ is finally over 4,000, never hit its 5,000 in 13 years, but they did get it up to 4,000. And so everybody's all tickled pink about that. But so let's go ahead and get on with the market report. You had gold down 32 at 1220. You have silver down $0.72. They whacked silver, $19.33. Almost, not almost, it was over 3.5% to the downside. Platinum was down $21 at $13.47, and palladium was down 10 at $715. USDX, as I mentioned, was stronger today, 0.29, but still didn't get over 81. So, I mean, it isn't like it's a new number, like it was, you know, treading around 90 and still below 81 at 80.93. Crude oil, you know, again, that's not down in the 80s. It's still in the 90. It was up over a buck 1.17 to the upside today at 93.89. And the paper markets today, stocks were lower, big deal, 77 points by 16,008. The NASDAQ was down 14 points at 4,045. The S&P still above 18, well, at 18, down almost 5. 10-year yield moved up today at 2.80%. And, of course, a lot of this for the stock market, they're claiming because of a bad Black Friday sales day.
And what I don't understand is how is it that the stocks go down because of a bad Black Friday? They didn't sell enough toys for all the good little girls and boys.
Yeah, should have been up.
And yet gold went down because the manufacturing was up.
Yep.
Manufacturing was up. The stocks should have gone up also. And it indicates something inconsistent is happening here. I'll tell you something else I've noticed that... I saw a report, and I don't have it in front of me, and I can't remember the numbers clearly. I think we talked about it last Friday, about the reports of how many people were buying. We touched on it, I think, on how many people were buying on the Internet this year. And if my recollection is correct, reports indicated that about 45% of the American people said they were going to buy at least some gifts on the Internet this year. What does that mean for real estate? Commercial real estate. It means that if it's up to 45% now, it wasn't that long ago where only a couple of percent of people would buy anything on the Internet. And now we're up perhaps pushing half the American people say they will buy for Christmas and other days on the Internet. It tells us that the days of the brick and mortar stores are numbered, point one. It tells us that if you want to invest in commercial real estate for strip centers, for example, and shopping centers and the rest of that sort of thing, you may want to think twice unless you're convinced that you have a great location. There will still be, you know, money to be made for commercial real estate that's at a great location. But if half the people are buying on the Internet, the number is likely to increase. I mean, we're liable to see a day in the near future where 80% of the people do their Christmas shopping on the Internet. And if that happens, what happens to the stores? They have to go broke. They can't afford it. If people aren't going down there and paying for the lights and the bricks and the mortar and the overhead and the rest of that sort of thing, they have to go broke. They cannot withstand the competition from the Internet. And we have stores all over the country that are going to be replaced. They're going to be driven out of business by Internet sales. So my point to all of this is, you know, this is perhaps not the time to be investing in commercial real estate, at least not if it's commercial real estate for stores. If it's for office buildings, that may be a different situation. I won't argue that office buildings are going down. But retail stores, I'd say that's bad business right now.
Isn't the Internet grand? Hasn't it done so much for everyone? You have probably less than 1% of the population who use it for really learning about anything, everybody else uses it to buy and to view pornography. So, I mean, isn't the Internet grand? But, you know, it's interesting. When I was visiting my family this weekend down in the Mannheim-Lancaster area, we went out to breakfast one morning, and we were driving past this in this small town of Mount Joy. This huge condos were being built, and in front of the condos, probably the length of a full block, were storefronts. You know, they built storefronts so, you know, people could open, just as you were talking about, some, you know, little retail. retail shops, jewelry shops, whatever it might be. Everyone was vacant. And for 2 years, they've sat there vacant. And brand new, not one company has ever moved into any of those. But it's also not only that, that you don't have the stores moving in there. It's another sign of just how overbuilt everything is. And that these builders had to continue to build to stay in business. I mean, I've had reports from clients who tell me that down in Florida, there's subdivisions, brand new homes, vacant. I mean, it's
maybe they should ship them to some of those vacant cities in China.
Well, we talked about
this ghost cities in China. Now we'll have ghost cities in Florida and probably other parts of the country.
But it is a sign of how distorted reality is.
I understand that.
And if you take the time to look, yes, you have people. I read that nobody was buying, but everybody was out. Everybody was out walking around and doing things, but they weren't buying. They had more people into the stores, but less buying. People weren't spending as much. So again, you look.
Well, they're hoping to catch a riot on their cell phone, on their cell cam, where they could download it onto YouTube and watch it go viral.
I mean, you could see the distortions again in reality. You see all these people, and they would show, you know, thinking, "Oh, wow, there's a lot of people out there." And again, a distortion of reality, but it's just not there in retail.
How
does
reality become distorted, Melody?
It is how we see things through the media and what they're doing to gold. It's a distortion of our economics. They give us lies for reports. Maybe it's not all lies, but they give you enough truths or enough lies to distort the whole equation.
Part of the distortion that we see is due to things like liar loans back in the late 1990s and the first decade of this year of this century. We had liar loans. We had subprime lending. Everybody was building and buying homes. Some people had two or three homes. They made borrowing money so inexpensive that people were going out and buying a couple of homes and hoping to rent one or two of the three they owned. They distorted the economy in order to stimulate it, artificially stimulate the economy by means of making cheap credit available to people who couldn't hope to pay off whatever it cost to buy a Happy Meal down at McDonald's. They made that available. And now we are beginning to see the results of this stimulation. And what we can also, we're not only seeing the results of the stimulation, we can look back in retrospect and realize that this economy was in bad shape in the late 1990s.
Absolutely.
And certainly the first decade of this year. And that's why, or this century, excuse me, what do you call the double aughts? 2000, I don't know what to call the first decade, but in any case, year one, 2001 through 2007, 8, when the stuff began to hit the fan. Through that first decade, this economy was already in so much stress that the only way they could hold it together was with artificial stimulation. They had to give money to people who hadn't earned it. And that's what the liar loans were all about. They gave them credit to people who weren't worthy of it. They're just passing it out in hopes of stimulating the economy. So this economy has been on life support now probably a decade, maybe 15 years.
Longer than that.
We can make a compelling argument that it was even longer than that. You're exactly right.
I remember.
So when do we get off life support, and what happens to us if somebody pulls the plug and the life support is terminated? What happens then?
The first stimulus really was back in 1995.
Yeah.
You know, and when once you saw the stock market rising, that was the first stimulus into the economy. I mean, that was what made people made them feel wealthy, made them go out, start buying low rates. It was the beginning of everything. So really the stimulus is the quantitative easing really started a long time ago, a lot sooner than since 2008.
You could argue that the stimulus goes all the way back to 1971 when we went off the even the international gold standard.
You're right.
And they created these petrodollars, and they've been pumping and they've been moving inflation overseas. The whole thing has been distorted perhaps for 40 years or more.
That's correct.
And now those distortions are beginning to catch up. We're beginning to see, say, what? And, you know, we're beginning to say, what the heck is that? It's been going on for 40 years. And you can reasonably ask, if it's taken 40 years to get to the point where we are today, how long is it going to take to get back to some sort of normalcy? Oh. We're way overbuilt for homes. We're overbuilt for businesses, for retail businesses. Real estate is not going to make a recovery. I'll bet you real estate doesn't make a recovery in the next 5 years. We'll see. You know, there'll be some splashes. There'll be some flashes of activity here and there, and some cities will do good. But on average, I don't think so.
The only recovery that we're going to see in this country is going to be based on bringing foreigners in. Is bringing in the Chinese to be buying, and it will again be another distortion.
What do you mean by bringing Chinese in? Do you mean getting to move here or invest here?
Both. China will be moving here. They will be buying up homes. They're already buying up businesses. They want to bring in the illegal aliens, you know, to make sure that the Obamacare. So all of these are just, again, distortions of the true reality. And the people of this country, the citizens of this country, our standard of living continues to decline. And again, it's the painted, I guess it's looking through rose-colored glasses, I guess. I guess you could call it that way. Everything looks rosy, but
it's hard to turn down the promise of a free lunch. It's hard to turn down the promise of a free meal or free benefits, and that's what government keeps promising. And they can't possibly deliver. Right? In the end, none of us are entitled to a nickel or a dime that we haven't personally earned. And government has convinced a huge portion of this country, none of us, corporations, none of us are entitled to it, and everybody is struggling to get something for nothing. And it's going to kill us. It's going to destroy a big chunk of this country before we get to bottom and we begin to realize once again, if you want it, you have to earn and save enough money to pay for it.
And
if you do that, we go back to reality. And if you don't do that, we go back to abject poverty, violence, chaos, perhaps even political destruction. We'll watch and see.
How you're going to see this is you're going to see it through higher and higher costs. Inflation is going to continue to creep back into this country. And the only way, and yes, the only way you'll be able to preserve part of your purchasing power is through purchasing gold and silver. You need something other than paper. And gold and silver will be the only thing that will give you that protection. I don't care what they do with it today. They can knock the price down. Oh, well, of course I do.
But it doesn't disturb me that the price is down. Do you know what the price of gold is right now compared to where? When was the first time we hit this price? It goes back to about, let me take a look at this. Let's see, May.
Probably where 2010. Am I? Probably 2010.
Yeah, about that. So we've got August of 2010, thereabouts.
Yeah.
When we hit today's price first time. All that means to me is I can buy gold at the same price I could have bought it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who've sat back and said, oh my gosh, I could have bought gold when it was only... We talked about this when the price of gold was going up. I wish I... Jesus, if I only knew what I know now, I could have bought it gold at, who knows, pick a price. I could have, would have, should have. Well, it's back there. It's like, from my perspective, it's like having an opportunity to buy a brand new Cadillac, same model that you could have bought 3 years ago at the price of 3 years ago. That's all I'm looking at. I'm saying, hey, this is a deal. This is a deal. So for me, I'm jumping in. You know, that's what I intend to do. And if they want to knock gold down to $1,000 an ounce, it suits me just fine. I don't care.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
it aggravates me on one level. I don't mean I'm immune because it affects the value of my savings and the rest. But it also creates a great, great buying opportunity. I'm saying, good for me.
The one thing that you look to with gold and silver is really long term.
Yeah,
if you trade it on a day-to-day basis, you'll go insane. You buy it, you put it away, you continue to accumulate it. You keep your portfolio balanced. That's what will give you a successful portfolio. If you have your gold will balance out your paper investments if you're carrying paper investments. So you buy gold, you put it away.
It won't just balance them out. It'll be the one thing that's still there when
you're talking about markets.
Vaporized.
No, 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 no. I'm talking about markets like we see today and as we go along. And you're right. Your paper investments are going to be vaporized. I mean, no doubt about it.
Those could happen in 2 months, could happen in 2 years, 4 years. We don't know when we're going to hit, when the stuff's going to hit the fan, but it is headed in that direction, and it seems inevitable, unavoidable, and it's like taking breaks for commercials, which we are going to have to do right now. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Do you have a special for folks today, Melody?
At these prices, Al, everything is a special. They just need to pick up that phone and make your plans of accumulating gold and silver. Call us at 1-800-375-4188. We've got some great pricing, and we do have quality products. Everything is looked at before it's shipped out. We don't send you scratched out, beat up coins and charge you the same price or maybe save you a dollar on a coin and send you something that's scratched out. So we have beautiful product, quality product. Everything is looked at before it is sent out. And, of course, our shipping. Someone told me today they had a friend who bought something 6 months ago. He didn't know the name of the company, but he was still waiting for the product. And so those firms are still out there, folks, so you have to be very, very careful. Our pricing is comparable to any online website to where you can buy gold and silver. I know that a lot of those websites have a lot of trinkets. They have a lot of, you know, hobby type, novelty type products that we don't carry. But I mean, for investing, and you wouldn't want that, those types of items for investments anyway. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter also. So a lot of good stuff going on, and very excited. I'm kind of excited. Yes, I don't like seeing gold, but I understand how they do it, why they do it, and having gold at these levels. But it really is a truly buying opportunity, whether it's here at 1200, whether it's at 1300, whether it's at 1400, whether it's 1100. They're all great buying opportunities. If you bought high, now's a great time to come in and buy at a lower price, and it'll help you average out your prices. So, and I believe there's more, I believe there's less downside risk than there is to the upside. So I believe gold can go down less. It could turn around real quick to go up. And I think that's more likely to happen than for it to go much, much lower. So we were talking during the breakout about Amazon. They came out today and they're talking about using drones, considering unmanned aircraft to deliver their purchases. They're working on the Prime Air Unmanned Aircraft. It's a project in its research and development labs at Amazon. And they said it's going to take a few years to advance the technology and for the FAA to create the necessary rules and regulations. But Bezos was on CBS 60 Minutes last night and came out and talked about their unmanned delivery drones. He says that drones can carry up weight up to 5 pounds.
Yep.
And that actually covers about 86% of the items that Amazon delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it only has the drones the company is testing have a range of about 10 miles.
Yeah, so they'd only be able to work in the big, in something like the big cities and wherever they were close to a major distribution, Amazon distribution point. I get that. But it still strikes me as a harebrained idea because these are going to be, at the moment they're talking about these octocopters. There will be 8 small electric motors with 8 propellers on this structure. And the structure is going to be able to carry a bucket. All right, and the bucket will have the 5 pounds or whatever the package inside that these that it has to be delivered. Now they're going to do this with GPS. Now what does that mean? It means for one thing, Amazon is going to have the GPS coordinates of your front door. Right, and the government's already tried to accumulate that with its census. Last census, they wanted to know exactly where the GPS coordinates were for your front door. So this information is going to be available, and they're going to want to send this stuff to your front door with these octocopters, and then they're going to apparently just dump this bucket and bang, your little package is going to land there at the front door, and then they buzz back to the office. They send back. But one of the things I'm thinking about is this. We are going to see these octocopters are going to be all over the sky. How long before people realize there's something valuable in the buckets, right? There's something in there that weighs up to 5 pounds that has some value. And people are going to start shooting the octocopters out of the sky, maybe with firearms, maybe with the potato guns, maybe with some kind of
slingshot.
Net. Maybe there will be, maybe people will have their own quadcopters, fighter quadcopters, to go up there and shoot. Send your own quadcopter up there to shoot their octocopter down and then run over and seize whatever it was that was in the bucket. Right? And then on top of that, Amazon's going to set up these. We're not talking about one or two of these a day. We're talking hundreds of these things buzzing around during the day, maybe even 1,000 or more. How many are going to fall down in traffic? How many are going to have defects and the bucket's going to fall off and land on somebody's windshield while he's driving down the highway? And next thing you know, you got a wreck on your hands and lawsuits. I don't know what they're smoking over at Amazon, but I think they better review this policy, because flooding the sky with these things, I don't know how economical and effective this is going to be. It's an it's an intriguing idea. It might be possible, but...
Well, it was probably a nice plug for Amazon and Cyber Monday. So a lot of
Well, it's a good plug for them for right now because they're still delivering by truck, right? Which is reasonably safe. You can get your product. It's not. Don't worry about people shooting it out of the sky and the rest of that sort of thing.
Again, it's another way to get people used to the idea. Also, it's part of the conditioning process.
The idea of drones.
Because absolutely, they're going to bring me a package. They're going to bring me a package. Ooh, they will accept that.
The drones are coming. The drones are coming. They're buzzing everywhere.
But no, it's a sign of conditioning, and people will think this is cool. And it's another fad. And in the meantime, they will use these drones for other reasons. And, of course, gathering the GPS data is an interesting idea of it. They'll use it in agriculture. And that's how they condition people.
Well, it's hard to know the difference between, when you start talking about a brand new and perhaps extraordinary technology. You can't just say it's necessarily conditioning. It may be an idea whose time has come. I know. Yeah, part of it. It goes,
considering the bad rap, the drones.
The sweet and the sour, and a lot of any of these technologies have a dark side, but they also have a bright side. Hard to say. It may work out, turn into something decent in a lot of respects, but how about pizza? Hey, how about pizza? I got to give him a $5 tip when he delivers a pizza. How about he just drops a package right there on the front steps and I run out and get it before the neighborhood dog does?
No, considering the bad press that the drones received militarily and Obama's situation and his rating going down, it was just, it's more to it than just Amazon going into the next generation for delivery.
You think it's intended to put a benign face on drones right now when Obama's being tarred with that particular brush?
Absolutely. There's no way they would have drones in the next 4 or 5 years delivering packages.
It makes little sense because the idea strikes me as very questionable, very doubtful.
And
again, I could
put
my own drone up in the air. I can put my own quadcopter up in the air and I'll sit there and I'll take this thing down out of the sky. Catch what's in the bucket.
Bezos is creating his reputation with Washington because you got to remember he bought the Washington newspaper, and he is now in the media, publishing media, sending out a newspaper. So again, he's a player.
Uh-huh.
So connect the dots, folks. Connect the dots.
What's next?
We got a lot of folks, laying off. Washington State, they're to regain some jobless benefits as unemployment rate rises. They're worsening unemployment rate in Washington State. We have listeners in Washington State, so things are not getting getting rosier for you. It looks like they're going to be getting some additional federally funded emergency unemployment compensation that's supposed to be starting this week, extending benefits for 9 weeks. So those that are unemployed in Washington State are going to be getting some extra benefits coming from the federal government. You also
this opportunity to bow down and worship the federal government, the source of all our free benefits.
It's sad that the people can't find jobs. And, of course, they blame it on the shutdown. They actually blame it on the shutdown back in October. That's when supposedly their unemployment started to turn around. I don't know what that was associated with. It's Washington State. I don't know if there's parks and recreations. I'm sure there's a lot of areas up in there in the mountains and so forth that probably laid off folks. And perhaps they were never hired back. But... So I don't know if it's temporary, but again, it's
I think it's a sign of things to come in the sense that it appears if the economy has been on stimulus, right? Well, we know it's on stimulus right now to the tune of $85 billion a month. We know that, right? At least that's the excuse. They claim it's stimulus. I'm not even sure. But if it requires $85 billion to keep this thing afloat right now. It indicates we are in very difficult circumstances. We are arguably in a depression now. We're not just worried about, gee, we might have a depression 2 or 3 years from now. We're maybe already there. And we are able to conceal it for the moment with this stimulation. But what's going to happen when that currency really does hit the economy? Most of it's been just retained. The government hands it out. Some of it goes to the most of it goes to the major banks on Wall Street, and some of it goes other places. But for the most part, it's being retained. It's not being injected into the economy. At least, you know, not most of it. And what happens when all those extra dollars? Somebody finally says, "All right, turn them loose, boys," and those dollars go flooding into the economy. It means that there's going to be significant inflation. And maybe hyperinflation. And at the same time, when we perhaps have, in the midst of what may be an economic depression, because there's supposed to be two mutually exclusive concepts. If you have a depression, the currency is supposed to, the dollar is supposed to become more valuable. You can buy more with it. Prices go down, the dollar becomes more valuable. We're talking about the possibility of an economic depression where we have a high level of unemployment, a relatively low level of demand, and still prices are rising due to the collapse of the dollar and inflation. It's the worst of all possible worlds. Right? If you have a depression and the value of the dollar is increasing, well, you might not have a job or you might only be working 10 or 20 hours a week, but if your dollar is worth more and worth more as we sink deeper into the depression, prices are going down, your dollar is worth more, you can get by. It's not easy and it's not painless, but you can get by. But you go into an economic depression where unemployment is rising, you don't have a job, or you're not working as many hours as you used to, and at the same time prices are going up, now you're in trouble. You have less income and prices are rising. It's the worst of all possible worlds, and we might be headed in that direction. We'll watch and see, but there's a good chance we're already arguably in a depression. I've talked about it in the past, and one of the things that impressed me years ago, I read an article. I don't remember who wrote the article or the book. I can't remember. But the point was, his point was that a lot of people disagreed as late as 1933. Whether we were or were not in a depression. We look back and everyone thinks the depression started in 1929 and it was like someone threw a light switch. And one day we were not in a depression and the next day we were, and we all knew it. And the truth is, a lot of people didn't agree we were in a depression. There was no real consensus until 1933, and then finally everybody's, yeah, we're in a depression. It took 4 years for the news to be recognized by the American people. We cannot sit back and assume that we would absolutely know if we were or were not in a depression right now. It's entirely possible in retrospect to look back and they'll say depression started in 2008. That's what it may be. People say, oh yeah, they were in depression in 2013. We don't know that for an absolute fact. I'm not saying that's absolutely true, but I'm saying it's possible. Where are we, Melody? We've got 2 minutes, minute and a half, something like that before our next break.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about both Romania and Ukraine. You know, you don't hear much about Europe anymore, and so you kind of think that they're just going right along. Their stock markets are up, and you know, you don't hear too much about coming out of Greece. We know Spain's unemployment is still up there in the high 20s, and you know, so is most of Europe. Germany is having a little bit of problems. However, it's interesting because the Romanian president, he's not going to sign a letter of intent and the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, memorandum to protest a government decision to hike fuel prices. The IMF approved almost a $3 billion precautionary loan to Romania in September that the government said it will not draw on. So here's the IMF trying to get their foothold in Romania. And it kind of reminded me while we were going into 2008 how our government forced banks to take money, even though they didn't want it, they didn't need it, But the government said, no, here, take it. And they had to take it through the bailout, through all the bailouts. So here the government, Romania, is saying, no, we don't want it because we would have to increase our gasoline fuel by about 5 U.S. cents. And he says that would hurt the Romanians and it would hurt our economic recovery. And it will hit retirees the hardest. So it's interesting they're going against the IMF, and it shows that the IMF is trying to, again, go in there. And again, it's all about control. You also have Ukraine. They're facing huge anti-government demonstrations after spurning a deal with the EU. So here they're turning away from the EU. The government doesn't want any part of the trade agreement that they're trying to put together. But the people want it. So I find that interesting. The president of Ukraine Monday tried to quell public anger by moving to renew talks with Brussels. The opposition scrambled to secure enough votes in parliament to oust the cabinet and try to force an early presidential election in the biggest unrest in the country since 2004. So the president's trying to reaffirm his grip on his power as thousands of demonstrators besieged government buildings. So again, things are not very peaceful around the world, and it's interesting to see how one government doesn't want anything to do with the IMF, another government doesn't, and the people do.
Well, then we'll have to invade them quickly. But before we do, we're going to take some commercial announcements. And I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got some questions coming in. The decision by the Central Bank of China to no longer accumulate foreign exchange reserves in dollar has infuriated the U.S. If this is the case, then the overflights by U.S. bombers and Japanese fighters is a distortion to cover up the dollar dump by China. Ivan wants to know, what do you think?
I don't know that it's designed to conceal the dollar dump by China, but it is evidence that there's a retaliation taking place here. This thing has been going on for a couple of weeks now, where we've had China tells Japan that you can't, they're going to put up some air defense network over the disputed islands. And then the United States, and they tell the United States, says, don't do it, that's a bad idea. And China tells the United States, mind your own business, got nothing to do with you. And then the United States flies a couple of B-52s over their disputed airspace to tell China we're ready to rock and roll. And China comes back, and they and now, what did they, I can't remember China's reaction after the B-52s, but where are we now? What are they doing right now over there, Melody?
What are they doing?
Yes. You just told me what they were doing. And
they're dumping dollars.
No, they're dumping dollars. What point I'm trying to get to is this. No, that's along in this spectrum of from day to day to day to day to day. And the point is they are now sending, what they're sending is 5-6 aircraft that are especially designed to search and destroy submarines.
Yeah.
All right? They're sending them over to Taiwan, I believe, or Formosa, or wherever. And this has got to just aggravate the Chinese. They're going to see this. The United States is effectively saying, you're not going to push us around. Now, a lot of people are going to kind of cheer for that. But on the other hand, who wants to cheer for another war? Where is this going? All right? No one is clearly backing away. We are going to have a test of wills on whatever's going on for a couple of islands out in the Pacific Ocean, the East China Sea, depending on what you call it. I had to think it's something like, 170 acres of land or something like that altogether on these islands. It doesn't amount to much. They're not very big, and neither side is willing to back up on this. At least so far. And China's sitting, they're sitting on something like $3.6 trillion in foreign reserves, much of which are $3 worth. They're not all dollars. They've got foreign reserves from other currencies as well as U.S. dollars. But most of that are U.S. dollars. We can expect that China might not want to lock horns militarily. But if they get angry enough, they're in a position to start selling those dollars, Bubba. Instead of keeping them sitting there in the vault, they can just start buying more gold, buying the land, buying natural resources. So we'll see what happens, but this kind of tension has the potential for causing a lot of instability and certainly has the potential for causing a rise in the price of gold. I mean, China's, they can buy all the gold that's produced in the world. I was just reading an article. Matter of fact, here we have an article here. This was originally, COMEX is close to a physical gold default. This is, the information is primarily from Andy Hoffman. It says, since April, an amazing thing has occurred. The amount of registered COMEX gold inventory has plunged 80%. In other words, the amount of gold they're holding COMEX, has fallen by 80% since April. That's 8 months. Okay, an 80% fall in the supply of COMEX physical gold in 8 months averages out to 10% decline a month. If this decline were to continue unabated, we could expect COMEX physical gold inventory to be completely exhausted by the end of February, and maybe sooner. What happens then? People are handy. They are buying pieces of paper that promise they can get 100 ounces of gold. What happens if it turns out they can't get the 100 ounces? It's worked for years because they didn't want the 100 ounces. They just wanted a check. They just used it. It was just an excuse to gamble. That's all it was. But what happens if people continue to take the gold? They say, no, I don't want a check. I don't want paper dollars. I want gold for my investment in COMEX. That's what's been happening, an 80% fall in the supply of COMEX gold in 8 months. It indicates people are saying, nope. I don't want any more paper. I want the actual gold. Give me my gold. And as a result, COMEX is running out of gold. The article continues, or Andy Hoffman continues, it says, typically, most future contracts are closed out or rolled over to the next month before the first delivery date of a particular month. For example, here the future contracts that would be due in the month of December are typically rolled over into January. They don't take physical delivery. They just roll it over into next month and the month and a month and a month. Then nobody takes it. That's typically. But in this time around, this hasn't occurred. This failure to roll over December futures contracts into January implies that some, perhaps most, buyers in this month intend to take physical delivery of their physical gold. Right? And there's not enough gold there to do the to make good on these paper gold promises. Given that December is by far the largest physical delivery month, what's occurring is more than a bit intriguing, since the amount of paper claims existing on existing physical metal has never been higher. And given these trends, it's not difficult to forecast an inevitable, if not imminent, physical default. There are 10,157 gold contracts still outstanding after Friday's first delivery day for December. That would, all right, on gold contract. And there's a major problem. Each contract is 100 ounces of gold. There are 10,157 contracts, which equates to 1,015,700 ounces of physical gold. That's what the contracts are for, the paper gold. They have contracts on over 1 million ounces, compared to only 990,820 ounces of registered inventory. They've got roughly 600,000 ounces of gold in inventory. They have demand of over 1 million ounces of gold that's due this month. That means there's 71% more gold standing for delivery. There's paper gold out there for 71% more than there is physical gold in the registered inventory. All of this points to an interesting month for gold. What happens if COMEX has to admit, how about that? We don't have any gold. We've been selling all this gold on the market, and we've been pricing gold according to paper gold prices, but guess what? You'll never believe it. We don't have any physical gold left. What's going to happen? The price of physical gold is going to jump dramatically, and I'm not telling you that's going to necessarily happen. This article from Andy Hoffman implies that it could happen in December, but he doesn't say it will. But still, some of the information he provides, it's off 80%. The physical supply is down 80% in 8 months. It follows that if it went down another 10% as compared to the original supply this month, and another 10% there's a good chance they're out of gold. No matter what anyone does, they're out of gold maybe in February. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we're close. If that happens, there's going to be heck to pay. And what Andy Hoffman, he closes, he said, will said reality set in by year end or 2014? I don't know. But when it does, I know I'll be on the long side of the greatest wealth transfer in history. What does he mean by the greatest wealth transfer in history? He means wealth is going to be transmitted from the people who believed they could trust in paper to the people who had brains enough to buy gold. You're going to see that transfer when the price of gold goes up to $5,000 an ounce or $10,000 an ounce or who knows where it's going to go. But it's not going to be $1,000 an ounce. It's going to be something multiples of what we've seen in the past. And it will constitute what he describes as the greatest wealth transfer in history. We'll see if that takes place. We have a caller, Dave from Michigan. Dave, are you there?
Hi, Melody and Al. Hope you had a good holiday. I got two quick stories here. One is where the people are following the delivery trucks, and as they deliver packages to your house, these people are doing package pickup. So, you know, this drone thing is just, it's a lot of smoke. But the most interesting story, the Fox affiliate Thursday said that a couple came from Colorado Springs, home of the Air Force National Bunker, shall we say, and they had a brand new Nissan Altima. They arced it out in front. In the morning, the car was gone. They found it three blocks away with the wheels off. Nothing new in Detroit. Well, what was missing was 1,000 rounds of 40 caliber hollow points. They said they brought them in because they shoot them all the time. Well, that's pretty expensive stuff to be shooting. And maybe the 2 billion round inventory the government has might have a shortage. But that never was on the news again. Right, and the report from Fox said we're exploding bullets. Well, they're just they're hollow points. So looks like I say, there's some shrinkage in inventory, and they probably have some cleaning to do when they get back to Colorado.
Maybe. We'll see about that. Money disappears from the government. Money, bullets, property, things disappear all the time, and nobody gets too upset about it. There's not much real inventory control up there. That nothing you can rely on.
That's against Geneva Convention to use something like that on populations, but that's not stopping anybody lately.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
So
I saw something.
Story, you know.
I saw something several years ago where they were talking. They had a plan to the gun control advocates. They said the way we'll control guns is we will raise taxes on bullets to where people can't afford them. All right. But
right.
What would be the consequence? It would mean that anyone who was driving a cop car and had maybe a couple hundred rounds of ammunition in the cop car would be a natural target. If they raise the price of bullets to $5 a bullet, these police officers are kind of covered in bullets. And there'd be people that would be hunting them just to steal their bullets. It would put law enforcement at greater risk if they increased the price of bullets or they made bullets more scarce. And what you're seeing right here is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
You can't afford bullets in Detroit, so steal them. Who's got them?
Yep.
Well, government. They got plenty. Oh, anything else, Dave?
Yeah, real quick. West Bloomfield, a suburb from Detroit here, about a year ago, a police officer went to a ball game. And he left his full automatic machine gun on the back seat. Of course, when he came out, that was gone. They never did find it. So I guess, yeah, you just hit a cop car and get what you need.
I understand. It's like a it's like bullets on wheels. Instead of meals on wheels, you got bullets on wheels. There'll be people who'll be calling cops to go to some address and say, oh my gosh, somebody shot somebody in the backyard. The cops will go to the back address while they're there. Somebody else will break into the cop car out in front and steal the bullets.
Well, beginning of World War II, Finland said that Russia was the biggest supplier of arms when Stalin was sending in the Mongolian troops and before he sent his crack troops in. And the Swedes, the Finlanders, were just stealing all the guns and ammo, and that's what they used, you know.
I understand. No easy solution to this problem. All right, Dave, thanks very much. We appreciate your call. We're glad you listened to the program. Look forward to talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, thank you.
We got a quick question. Decision. We had two questions coming in from Ivan. How is Obamacare website working as of this past Saturday? Are 50,000 people able to register simultaneously without crashing?
They claim that they can register 50,000 at a time without crashing. But there's another article from ABC News that I saw just... Where is it? That where one of the wheels up there estimates that Obamacare, David Plouffe, P-L-O-U-F-F-E, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it was on ABC News this weekend, Obamacare will work really well by 2017. What news? Now there's cause for celebration. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just four more years, and Obamacare is going to be providing wonderful health care for all of us, including death panels. In the meantime, Melody and I are going to take a break. We'll be back mañana. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Thank you.